Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. There has long been a dollar in the public reading of minds, and that's what Britain's Chris Cox does, or rather doesn't. That's the thing. He's playing the Comedy Festival, and he's here with us to explain.
Hello, I'm Chris Cox. I'm a mind reader who can't actually read minds. So, what I do is I use a mongrel hybrid mix of magic, psychology, and bullshit to make you think that I know what you're thinking. And I know what you're thinking. Yes, I do work out.
Well, Chris, you bill yourself as a mind reader who can't read minds, which really means that you're a mind reader who's honest about it.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. I like to just think of it as it's my escape clause for when stuff goes wrong. I can't really do it. But yeah, I'm kind of honest in my dishonesty, I suppose. I can't really read minds. What I do is I use a mixture of magic, psychology, body language, influencing, devilish good looks, lying, all those sorts of things to make people think that I know what they're thinking. And I suppose for me, what my art, for want of a better word, is it's I fill that gap between I can't really read your mind, but I can make you think I can read your mind. So that's all I can do, is make you think that I can do it.
Without giving away any trade secrets, yeah. Where do you learn this stuff? Are there books you can read about
it? Yeah, there are. Like, for me, it's a basis in magic. It's where I started when I was 6 years old. I got a Paul Daniels magic kit, and I've always been interested in magic. And then at school, I did psychology, and a light bulb went off in my head. I went, hang on, if I mix that bit of psychology and that magic trick, then suddenly it's more than a magic trick. So a lot of
Can you give us an example of
yeah,
it?
I think a lot of there's a bit, for example, a lot of psychological things will influence my show. So there's a trick in the show that I'm doing here where I live in London, and London has amazing public transport, but it's so busy and I never get a seat on the train. And I thought, if I could really do this stuff, I'd be able to get a seat on a train. So there's a study I found which 3 out of 4 times allows you to get a seat on a train using a little psychological tip, which I give away in the show. So I'll take that idea and that theory and then drag it through to, okay, if I could then really do this, then how would I take it to another stage?
How do you get a seat on the train?
Well, what you do is you come and see Chris Cox Mind Over Patter, and I'll tell you that.
All right, good.
How's
good,
that wrist sell?
Absolutely.
So are you essentially doing the same things as stage psychics do, but you're not exploiting people's grief and longing? And
in some respects, yes. It's a very different, you know, my show is, it's light entertainment at its best is what I aim for. It's funny, it's stupid, it's amazing, it's me doing what I would do if I could really do this stuff. And it's very different to psychic things because, you know, psychic's all about contacting dead relatives or telling you stuff about yourself that you supposedly no one should know. I'll tell you things about yourself, but I know how I'm finding out, that sort of stuff. And it's all about, kind of for me, it's set pieces. It's, if I lived in a perfect world, what would I do? If I could really do this stuff, what would I do? How can you make the imperfect world slightly more perfect, the impossible possible? And it's things that, you know, just things like, for me, people after a show, they go to me, hey, wow, with this stuff, you must be amazing at picking up girls. I'm not. I'm awful. There's a whole trick based around the fact that I'm terrible at dating, and if I could really do this stuff, then this is how I would do it.
If you manage to con some pretty guy or pretty girl to go on a date with you, there are a few little tips and tricks you can do to make them fall that little bit more for you. I can tell you some of the things you may have seen that I'm doing already. I'm mirroring her body language. She's having a drink, and when she does that, I take a sip of my drink. The reason for this is because if I can react to her and mirror her image, she becomes more comfortable. Also, you'll notice, every time I talk about the thing you love, I tap her on the hand. There's a little tap on her hands. By touching her, it's making her feel comfortable in my presence, and it's relating this touch to being in love, or feeling the feeling of love. So maybe later, if I'm suggesting we go back for coffee, I could just tap her hand and she'll think, oh yeah, I might do that.
I suppose, and the way what you're doing is a logical extension of magic anyway, because most magic tricks rely on psychology.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Psychology is such an important part of it. And, you know, as a magician, it's very difficult because you, in essence, are going, hello, I'm an idiot that can do what you can't. So you've got to try and avoid that and get people to like you and get on side. Plus, kind of at the end of the day, I know its tricks and you know its tricks. So let's just ignore that and get on with it.
I was going to ask you about that. Are you ever so good that you either A, freak yourself out a little bit, or B, people are convinced that you are a psychic and you just don't know it?
Yeah, people will quite often after the show go, oh, you've got gifts, you've got powers, you definitely... And I'm like, no, I know exactly how I'm doing all of this stuff. I haven't. And they will try and convince me otherwise. And I love those sorts of people because they want to believe.
I was going to say, they want to believe so much, don't
they?
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be amazing if magic existed? It would be the best thing in the world if you could. I'd love to believe it. And back to your first point. Yeah, sometimes things, I'll do things that, they won't scare me, but I'll just take random guesses and I'll be bang on the money.
So is that a matter of making intuitive rather than mechanical decisions?
Yeah,
because you've been doing it so much, you can do
that. That's it, yeah. For me, my mentality is, right, I've been doing this for so long, I've got a gut feeling, I'll go with it. 9 times out of 10, that works out. And in my head, I've gone, right, it's just perception, I've worked out a bit about this person, I've gone for a guess and I've been lucky and got it. Where sometimes I think the opposite end of a stroke is someone would go, whoa, I'm psychic. I think that's kind of the difference, is I'm aware of what I'm doing.
If you get 5 in a row, though, you're starting to go, ooh, hang on.
This yeah, what's happening here?
Are you skeptical about everything, a non-believer about everything, or are there things that you still, you know, excite you? Mysteries?
Yeah, I suppose I'm a skeptic. There's this great convention in America which has just come to London called The Amazing Meeting, which a guy called James Randi organises, who runs this thing called the Million Dollar Challenge, where if you can prove that you're a psychic, he will give you $1 million. And it fascinates me, the idea of scepticism and critical thinking and science being, you know, there's Tim Minchin, who's a friend of mine, who's an amazing Australian comedian.
Very good comedian.
Has this great, if you haven't, check out on YouTube Storm, this wonderful 9-minute beat poem about scepticism and critical thinking. And I like his mentality, which I follow the same of, if science can prove something to be fact, therefore I will believe it. But I want proof before I believe it. That said, I'm still sceptical enough to salute at magpies and I won't walk under ladders.
salute at magpies? I haven't heard that one before.
Maybe this is a British thing. If you see a magpie, you salute at it to push the bad luck away.
I think we shoot them here.
It's pretty much the same. We just don't have guns.
It's more permanent. Yeah.
So I won't be seeing you again, Mr. Magpie.
You said 9 times out of 10 it works. So there's one time out of 10 that it doesn't.
Yeah. This is why I do what I do. Because I used to do magic, and it bored me a little because I always knew it was going to be right. I know that if I do this, this, and this, ta-da, there's the end result. Where when I go on stage with a show, I honestly don't know what bits will definitely work and what bits won't. And, you know, there are certain things that change every night because some things may work brilliantly, some things might not work, and then I'll go down a different path. So you won't know it's not worked, but I'll know it's not quite the response I want. So you have to be professional enough to build in the fact that if everything goes wrong, you haven't got a show.
My card is a club or spade. Tell the truth or lie.
My card is a club.
Good. This is positive reinforcement. It's like petting a dog. Tell the truth or lie. Tell the truth. You should have told the truth. It's a club. Am I right?
Yes. And I thought I was quite good at poker.
That's good. You are.
Do you ever get people who deliberately throw out red herrings?
Oh, yeah. All the time. And often they're my favourite people. Because I tell people a lot of time, challenge me. And when someone challenges you, they follow a very specific pattern. When someone's trying to help you, then it's suddenly really difficult because I'm set, you know, you're used to people kind of messing you around. It's like once I was on tour in the UK and this lady, I had her up for a trick and was chatting to her and started doing it and it just wasn't working. I was like, you know what, I'm really sorry, I'm going to send you back to your seat and I'm going to get someone else because this just isn't working. And I chatted to her after and was like, why didn't it work? And she went, oh, I'm a hypnotherapist. It's like, okay, now I know, because I was really doubting myself. But some people just put those barriers up and suddenly you can't get what you want to get.
I mean, just I'm interested in your thoughts on the people that do this professionally without the self-realization or the... Do you think they have self-realization? Do you think there are people standing up on stage, the Colin Fries of this world, the sensing murder people, you know, that do you think they know that they're full of it?
I'd love to think that they don't know. Because if they knew they were completely conning the audience, then, hey, what a horrible person you are if you're going out there and you know you're conning an audience and you're just making money out of people when they're most vulnerable. I believe that they have to believe in themselves enough to be able to do that. And I think they truly believe they've got the psychic ability and the psychic gift. And, you know, I'm not here to judge them because they might think I've got it and I'm just being rational about it. And it's that thing of, I would love more than anyone to be shown it to be true. I would love it, someone to go, right, look, it is true. And I would believe them and I would change my viewpoint and I would go with it. And it would make it a lot easier for me if it was real. If I didn't have to work out how to trick my way into it, oh, it'd be so much easier.
Have you thought about following the lines of those people and maybe having a TV show or a DVD, a book, or three?
Well, this is the thing is, you could... as a psychic, I could probably make a lot more money than I'm making now as a entertainer. But I just wouldn't be comfortable with myself doing that. I do it for entertainment. I have it here to mess around with you, to have some fun, to play with your belief system, to make you remember that day before you became a skeptic, where you went, wow, Santa does exist, or wow, you know, the world's a magic place. If I can get that, recreate that feeling, then what a great thing to give someone. Just that moment of, oh my God, so much is possible.
What can you tell me about Russell?
I can tell you that he is wearing a T-shirt and has a head. You see, this is the thing, is you can kind of roughly profile people. And if there's a thing psychics do called cold reading, where they will do this thing where they'll say kind of generic statements. I was doing some before where you go, okay, you as a child, you felt slightly different to everyone else. You like to be the life and soul of a party, but often you like your own space. You're a private individual, but like to share things with your close friends and family.
You know me so well, Chris.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Do me.
You're an individual, you're like, so, but it's all about, you know, our brains are hardwired to see patterns, and we're wired up. Like, here's an example. You can do this if you're listening at home. Just put your right foot, just pick your foot up off the air and spin in the clockwise direction your right foot from your ankle, and just spin it round. If you're listening while driving, don't do this. Just spin your right foot in a clockwise direction. Now keep doing that and put your right hand out in front of you, and with your right foot going in a clockwise direction, with your right hand in the air, draw a massive number 6, and I will make your feet change direction.
Oh,
there you go.
It worked.
Unbelievable. It's just, if you work out how the brain's wired up, then you can kind of influence some of those little things. You can just play with them to your advantage.
Brilliant. You are devious. Now, tell me, you've been doing a preview show this week, and
yes,
your actual show starts on, do you know the details?
The 24th of April through to the 1st of May at the Herald Theatre at 8:30 every night.
Wonderful. Well, all the details are at comedyfestival.co.nz. Chris Cox, we hope you have a lovely time in New Zealand and trick many more people.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I don't understand what he's done to me.
Oh my God!
I thought it was amazing. It sounds horrible if I thought he was in touch with me. So I'm guessing he's just really good at doing
tricks. Oh my God!
That is brilliant.
I'm Chris Cox and I can't read minds.
Chris Cox there. After the break, the sweet hot pepper pop of Farmer Pimp.